Rajesh Bawa is going to tell us about speciation and selection in Western poplar.
Good morning, everyone. So we just heard a talk about perennial grasses, and now we will move towards perennial plants. Poplar is poplar strychocarpa, which we call Western poplar, is a very important bioenergy crop, and DOEs and a lot of people are working on it to generate biofuel out of it. This project was funded as a climate adaptation. I'm working on local adaptation of poplar, and this study came out of it. I have 21 slides, so I don't know whether I'll probably skip a few in the middle just to meet the time requirements. So just to give you an outline, I'll be talking about why we did this study, just to give you a little bit of a premise of the study, then methods, a little bit of results, and then selection. We know that climate change is the most important issue of the 21st century. But various studies have found is that the organisms which have a very long lifespan are the ones which are most affected by it. The study which came out in 2003 showed that the trees are the ones which have the most change in the range in which, or the days in which they basically break their dormancy. So the trees are the ones which are most affected by it and are facing the problems with the local adaptation. So this is an important organism to study then. The picture here shows a 2003 photosynthetic activity, which was basically limited to the northern parts of Canada. And then a USGS survey just came out a few months back, shows that now it's moved to the Greenland. So we know that the global warming is happening. That's the biggest problem. So just to give you a premise of the graphs which are showing here, this is a study which was done in British Columbia on conifers. What they're basically showing is there are two stalks of the plants with different productivity. And what they basically do is use physiological and agronomic data to produce the productivity declines, so that just to have some sort of a scenario that there is not much decrease in productivity when the climate changes. So the degree in which there is a change in color is a productivity change. So there is some sort of genetic, they're only using the physiological data here, but they do kind of use it as a marker or as an indicator for genetics, but they don't have any genetic information yet. What we are trying to do is give them some genetic information on this so that the model is much more efficient to predict the performance of a plant in a future climate scenario. Just to give you a basic introduction regarding population genetics, we know that there are five major forces which are related to population genomics, which brings the change in the, or which are responsible for genetic variation. The three of them or four of them are basically random, and the one which is basically directional is selection, which can be further divided into positive selection, negative selection, and the diversifying selection, which we basically call as local adaptation. So this study will basically focus upon some aspects of demography and some parts of diversifying selection. In our study, we have around 400 samples all along the west coast of Poplar strychocarpa. So there is a very wide, diverse range of samples. We have samples all the way from Alaska to somewhere back down in California and Sierras. We did Illumina HiSeq and selected the quality sequences which met at least 10x resolution. Did some population structure on it just to find out how many populations exist genetically in them. We used PCA for those things and admixture, which is basically an unsupervised algorithm. In admixture, what you do basically is you give them your predicted number of populations and it gives you the results based upon that. And what you do is you look at the cross-validation error, where the error is minimum is the one which is most likely number of clusters you might have. In our population, it was around 8. I'll give you some picture of the admixture results. These are basically vertical bar plots from the admixture. What you see is as we increase the K, the number of populations increase. In K is equal to 3, what you see is northern. So these are all assembled from north to south. At K is equal to 3, you only see the differentiation in some northern populations, some southern populations, and a very big center. But as you increase to the predicted 8, which is the most likely number of populations we have, you see more number of populations towards the south, but in the north, there is not much much of variation from that. But as you increase the K, you see again a subpopulation structure. But it basically shows you is that the gene flow is acting on population structure. There is a restriction in gene flow, which is leading to the number of genetic clusters in them. And it is a function of geography. What you basically see here in PCA is again the similar thing. The color, the blue represents the population in the north. The red represents the population in the south. And if you see the map around here, all these populations are somewhere around here, and everything around here is here. So geography is playing a very important role in determining the genetic variation. But they only explain only 5.2 and 3.3% of it, which is interesting. So based upon this data, we divided our populations into 10 instead of 8, because we were just studying the demography here. So what we did was we divided our northern populations into two groups, Kodiak, which is a small island near Alaska, and Alaskan population, Anchorage. So I just want you to keep these two populations in mind because these are the most interesting populations in the rest of the analysis. We looked at the linkage disequilibrium. What we basically did was we binned our data into 50 recombination distance categories from 0.005 centimorgans to 0.25 centimorgans, and then plotted the results. What you see is that these are the southern populations and these are the northern populations. As you move from south to north, the linkage disequilibrium decay decreases. What basically it means, what this plot means basically is that the southern populations were much older, so there was more chance of recombination and more chance of algae decay as compared to the northern populations. But you see that there is a dissimilarity in the patterns of these two northern populations. They are not very synchronous. So what we did is we looked into these the R-squares or the linkage disequilibrium values for these populations. And what you see here is that the Alaskan population shows only high linkage disequilibrium in a very short genomic distances, but in the Kodiak, what you see is that the linkage disequilibrium is quite high even in the larger genomic distances, which basically means that the Kodiak is a more recent population, because if the linkage disequilibrium is very high in large genomic distances, that means it has been more recent and the recombination has not been that efficient in breaking it. So what we moved on to is we calculated the effective population size based upon this equation, which came out in 1975 from Hill and Robertson. What it does is it uses genetic distance and R-square as a function of population size. And based upon this, what we see is Anchorage or the Alaskan population had a very high effective population size back long ago in the past. And the Oregon, which we consider is a southern refugia from where most of the population originated much more later, which was quite interesting because our hypothesis was that everything migrated from the south to north because everything up was covered by glaciers, but probably not. But at this time, we were quite skeptical of this. But other interesting thing is everything after 17,000 years ago is more or less stable. There wasn't much variation after that. This is just to give you another idea from the same data which I just presented. This is only for any at 10,000 years ago. About 10,000 years ago, Anchorage was one with a very high effective population size, and Oregon again with a very high effective population size. But if you see any growth rate over time, what you see is northern populations are the one which are seeing the bottleneck, which is the decrease in the population, whereas the southern populations, except Oregon, which was the refugia, see an increase in population growth. And this is basically because the climate was much more suitable for poplar to grow in the south at that time as compared to up in the north. So they have a much smaller population. We wanted to verify our results, so we used PSMC, which is another program. The full form of PSMC is a pairwise sequential Markovian coalition. It uses heterozygosity as a function to predict the effective population size, and it basically gives us the same result. So this is Anchorage or Alaskan population, and this is Oregon or the southern population, and the Alaskan population had a much more bigger effective population size back in the past, and then later on the Oregon came along. So it basically means that there might be two refugias rather than one up in the north and one down in the south, which might be the main source of most of the genetic variation or the populations. Because these both methods are very sensitive to heterozygosity, we wanted to see the genome-wide heterozygosity of the data. We plotted the genome-wide heterozygosity, and what you see is that the northern populations actually have a very high heterozygosity. So it's still a skeptic result. So it could be that whatever we are seeing could be a function of heterozygosity, and maybe there is no refugia up in the north. But everything else had a pretty low heterozygosity of around 0.07 as a median. What we did then was just to verify if this is response to the hybridization with the other species. We did the tree mix analysis. What it does is it uses the genome allele frequency data to make a maximum likelihood phylogenetic graph. And what it basically does is it uses these residuals to explain most of the variation of the genetic data. With no migration events, it only explains 96% of the variation. But as you add the migration events in this, it explains around 99.8% of the variation. And most of the residuals become negative. So this is probably the most effective population representation of my samples. And what it shows is that this is an outgroup, another species of poplar. And maybe the hybridization happened before this species of poplar diverged from Trichocarpa. So the hybridization did happen, but it happened back long in the past. And maybe most of the variation has been retained because the gene flow doesn't happen from the south to the north.
One minute. I'll just pass on these results. So what we were interested to see was even genomic islands of divergence.
So FST is a measure of genetic differentiation, if you see a very high FST, it is probably a selection signature. So we wanted to study if the selection is happening on these populations or not. This is a test. This is HAP-FLK statistic, which is based upon haplotype differentiation. What we saw was that there were three important genes which came up, and the two of them, this one is vulnerization, this one is a phytochrome A. They both are related to photoperiod and dormancy, and both are very important for local adaptation, and they have been tested out in various functional genomic studies in poplar and in Arabidopsis. So it's probably that the local adaptation is happening in a population, and these genes are under a very strong selection. We saw similar results in Outflank, which is another program where FST is plotted against the null distribution of FST, and you see cytochrome B, which is another light-sensitive gene, as an outlier. So just to give you a conclusion, there might be two different refugias in our populations, and secondly, local adaptation is happening and it's mostly affecting the photoperiod genes. Thanks.
Oh, and then, I mean, if anybody has questions.
No, sir. What we basically predict is there was a refugia up in the north, but most of the populations are from the south. Because there was a big glacier in the middle, the northern populations restricted up in the middle, but the gene pool has been now contributed by both of them. So it's just not the south. They were probably up in the north.
The gene pool
Yeah. So this study is being followed up by the selection test and population genomic studies, and what we are seeing is that the genes under selection in the northern populations are very different from one in the southern population, and that's probably because of the difference in the gene pools.
Thank you. Perfect.